Abraham said, Son, remember. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some of you, like my family, our whole family, might be fans of Radio 4's News Quiz. One panellist told us last week that he has weekly German lessons. And he was in his lesson, and his teacher asked him what he'd been doing that week. And he said, he was of course trying to reply in German, not much, I've been, and he got stuck, and he admitted, I've been procrastinating. What's the German word for procrastinating? And of course his teacher said, there isn't one. Procrastinating, delaying, putting off, that is at the heart of the parable told by Jesus in today's gospel. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. Significantly, this man has no name. He is defined only by what he possesses. He amasses goods for himself, perhaps to defend himself from the fear of death. Who knows? So blinded by greed, he doesn't even notice that on his doorstep the presence of a poor man covered with sores named Lazarus, a name from the Hebrew which means God is my help, who longed to eat even what just fell off the table. Now the Bible has a word, we have a word, for the behavior of the rich man. It's called injustice. It's the word spoken about by the prophets Amos and Jeremiah and Obadiah, all very strongly, and then by Jesus himself, as well as his apostles. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be filled. Woe to you who are rich, for you have had your consolation already. It's the injustice that occurs in accumulating a huge amount of wealth, which itself deprives others of even the minimum needed to survive. Today, this is so obvious. On our streets, in our shop doorways, across our TV screens, and it would appear tragically each time a boat goes down in the Mediterranean. The dispossessed are around us everywhere. And we say we're powerless to change matters. These are historical forces, we say. Not the kind of thing that even governments can do very much about. Yet thank God, God is not so. As Lazarus's name suggests, God helps. God helps especially the victims of history, victims of the very things we say we are powerless to change. And that is what Jesus is trying to reveal in this parable. You are accustomed to the presence of the poor, brought about by your wealth, so much so that you no longer perceive the injustice that it is, he says. We should perhaps think of ourselves as those, as St. Augustine in his sermon on this passage says, those who have as much pride in their soul as purple on their body. There will be a judgment when you die, when you're not part of history, when God will remember and will call on us to report for our behavior, and when he will give to every man according to his works. Now Jesus presses home his teaching. And remember, though we weren't told it as it was read this morning, but in the verses before that passage, we're told that he is addressing the Pharisees. And just a couple of verses before the passage we heard, we are told, because they were lovers of money and ridiculed Jesus. One day, says Jesus, the leprous beggar died. Well, there's not very much surprise in that, given the circumstances. And he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, that is, to the place of the righteous dead awaiting judgment. The rich man also died, and I bet that was a bit of a surprise, and he was buried. Now, this reversal of fortunes prompts the dialogue between the rich man and Abraham, which is the point of the parable. Send Lazarus to ease my suffering, he says. To which Abraham replies, both to the rich man and to us, but son, remember. Come on. Think. Jesus is not, his business is not to frighten people with a picture of hell and judgment sometime in the future, which many of us moderns anyway ridicule as medieval fantasy. He wants us to think about now. It is possible for it to be too late to make the difference. For there to be a great gulf fixed when nothing can be done about the past. We must pay attention, says Jesus, to the fact that the day of judgment is now, today, here. The last days, whenever they come, that will be a time simply to report and reveal what we do now. The rich man puts up no resistance, guilty as charged, but surely Lazarus can go and warn his brothers, who are still alive, to change their lives. But he is told, and this is the climax of the parable, they've got Moses and the prophets, and remember Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, they've got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. If they won't listen to them, then even people popping up from the dead will not persuade them. The virtue of faith and its consequences are not opened up to any of us by miracles and extraordinary events, but on paying attention in our hearts, with our minds, to Moses and the prophets, that is, to the Word of God. Paying heed to everything in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, says Jesus, that came to be fulfilled in me. The gift of faith comes from hearing the Word of God, embodied in the life of the only one who has seen God, and the only one who has made him fully known. A life full of communion with God and with us, a life full of love, which leads direct through death to share in the life of God himself. And this gift of faith will be recognized as authentic if it is, as St. Paul says, faith working through love. Not faith in a vacuum. In other words, faith revealed in the loving service of others. others that we like and know, and others that we don't like and don't know. Those who do what is true come to the light, says St. John, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Brothers and sisters, it is acts of faith, acts of hope, and acts of love that we will be asked to report at the end of our life. Or better still, it is our acts of faith and hope and love here and now that will be revealed at that time when there is no going back. Son, I dare say daughter, son, remember. If anyone has the means of life in this world and sees a brother or sister in need and yet closes his heart, how can the love of God dwell in him? Friends, whether you're about to be confirmed or whether you've been confirmed for many a year or whether you might be confirmed next time, remember, it is up to us to follow the path that God has laid out in order for us to gain life. And this path is called faith working through love. There are, of course, actually several words in German for procrastination, but there are none in the Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.